Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bull to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do.
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, well, I'd buy you a house. I would buy you a house. And if I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, buy you furniture.
Well, and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Hobbs. She's Jay-Z yelling at me from the other room. Hey, go, for God's sake. I did not have the headphones on. I was getting all my act together here. The act that it is, Jay-Z. So,
we have
Kevin
right.
In a second. SP Futures up 350. Dow Futures up 50. NASDAQ Futures up 22. Got a beat by Apple last night. It was up $5 last night. We're actually trading down for a little bit. We'll get the exact numbers in a bit. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
You're doing fine. You sound fine.
Always.
I ended up in a. I think I need to get Dr. Blade in for a few sessions.
What'd you do? Watch the debates?
No, I read about him this morning. I was watching the Cubs. I should have watched the debates. It could have been better.
Either one would drive you nuts.
It's what everybody's doing, Kevin. It's what I've turned into. Well, I don't have the intelligence or the Nobel Prize, but I'm somewhat turned into George Stigler.
You might, considering some of the ones they've awarded, but keep going.
But I'd turn into George Stigler. He'd start talking about something, then he'd say, wait a minute, I haven't created a base for that, and then he'd back up. Then he hasn't created a base for that, then he'd back up. Because I never wanted to say anything that didn't have, some basis to it. And half the time, he'd forget what the original point was. And I thought, God, if I ever get like that, please shoot me. I'm almost getting there. But when they talk about where they're heading with this stuff and, kind of the socialism and your guy from South Bend, I'm liking more and more, by the way. I think he's about 8 years away, but I think he's a real talent. Buttigieg?
I'm liking him less and less, but okay.
Well, okay, but I'm saying the man has some talent, I think. And
he can think outside the box, man.
I think he's, like I said, he's a ways away. But it's an old guy talking. But, when people even talk about, today's world where I'll talk to some conservative, those Democrats just want to be socialist. Okay, then what would you want to be? Well, capitalist, competitive. They won't say competitive, they'll say capitalist. Right, now what does that mean? What do you mean? Capital, that's America. What's America? Define what we have right now. Define what you mean by capitalist. What do you mean? Capitalist. No, you can't define the word by the word. it's not the way the English language works for most people. What do you mean? Do you see elements of socialism now? Do you think most things are competitive? Are you talking about crony capitalism? Are you talking about competitive capitalism? What are you talking about? I mean, when everybody talks now, Kevin, the base, defining what we currently have and where to go from here, is such an extreme, intense problem. I mean, if I ran, which I have no intention of ever doing for anything, I was actually thinking last night on the way home, how would I get my message across? I honestly don't think there would be any other way than to somehow get a campaign that could buy. Maybe you don't have to buy it anymore. You know about this more than I do, you and Jay-Z, you high-tech people. Go back to my day. I would buy a quarter page in the whatever, pick a paper, Wall Street Journal or someplace, once a week and say, okay, here's where I think we are. Here's where I think we need to be. Here's how I'm going to try and get there. I don't think people have any idea what they're talking about, what they say, what people are hearing, because there's no base in anything. You don't create the base. When Elizabeth Warren talks, or Trump talks, or anybody, you never say, well, here, in this industry, this, I think, is an issue because, A, it's not competitive. We need to become more competitive in this. And this is how much this is costing you. We're like arguing in the middle of the ocean without a boat or something. I mean, I don't even know how to characterize it. Do you understand what I'm trying to talk about here?
I think so. Let me take a stab at it. What you're really trying to say is that there is so little that fits into a soundbite or a tweet, and so the question is, how do you get a message across the way we do things today?
Right. Well, even so, will anybody read it? I mean, we say capitalism, but we talk about the stock market. Well, the stock market, to me, Kevin, isn't $1 trillion a year from companies, borrowing money at ridiculously low rates that other people can't get to buy their stock back instead of giving a dividend to the people who do have the 401ks and everything else. I mean, that to me is not that's not the market I grew up with.
I mean, it's also the issue that in some minds but not others, the stock market is the economy. The stock market's not the economy. It's tied to the economy. It's reflective in many ways of the economy, but it is not the economy, and it is just one part of economic activity. And so you have people, when it suits their purpose, pointing to the stock market and saying, see, it's up. And that's useless too. So I think what you're really getting at is the basic understanding of the fundamentals of economics, the fundamentals of a lot of things, of industries and so on, and that's been lost. We don't incorporate it into primary and secondary education very well at all.
Well, I would say that the stuff that you say is some of my biggest drivers towards this, in that we talk about on one side, we have people talking about single payer, I'll use the term socialism, on the healthcare side. And that we have other people who, for whatever reason, still have companies or whatever, not saying for whatever reason, for a good reason, are paying for their stuff, and maybe it's somewhat painless to them, the current system. Although getting more painful, even for those people, the deductions and stuff are going up. You and I paint a picture, I think, agreeing, when you're not supposed to agree on radio, agreeing that the current healthcare system doesn't fit into either one of those definitions, and it's a real mess. So,
But everybody who says it's a real mess, every one of those politicians who voted for Obamacare and then is up there today saying how screwed up the healthcare payment system, and it really is the healthcare payment system, not healthcare itself, but everybody who's saying that it's a screwed up mess who voted for Obamacare should just shut up, because they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, the people who voted for
there were so many I told you so's. There are so many I told you so's to ditch out. There are so many people saying this is exactly what will happen, and what was predicted, the negatives that were predicted, are exactly what happened.
Well, I don't know if I'll go that far. I mean, I think that
I will. I did. I got
you. The reason why I think you're, I'm going to say I think you're wrong. I think you're wrong because so much of what happened with Obamacare came after the people who voted for it. That it's like if I voted for the Iraq War, I didn't vote for that whole 5 years of fiasco over there. I mean, I voted to start it. I didn't vote for the way it went down and the foolish way we handled it, and the fact that we pulled out and left a big hole. I mean, I sent the stone going downhill. I know I didn't really aim it at your house. You know, maybe I shouldn't have sent the stone going downhill, but I sure didn't intend it to whack into your house. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I just don't know that I agree with it, Tom.
I think the original.
You know, there's more a what'd you expect when you voted for the Iraq War.
My
reaction was, we're in for a really long haul, operation here, and everybody who said, well, you know, we need our exit strategy now after 2 or 3 years. So they're going, what do you mean that, you know, if that was really important to you and that was supposed to be part of the deal, then why didn't you insist on that before you voted to approve it?
Well, I'm going to say that the very original theory, or at least my idea, which of course didn't turn out the way it turned out, the original theory for me was that I thought that the medical area was basically a goat bleep to start with. And my knowledge of that came from people I knew in hospitals and my education in North Chicago, which at the time had the only hospital MBA in the world, basically. And that was a long time ago. Now there's a bunch of people. But the way that hospitals do their costing, to me, it was always, I mean, it could have been the dumbest person in the freshman cost accounting class couldn't have been that bad in terms of how they figure out what their costs were, how they charge people. It was ridiculous, Kevin. One of the guys who was at, he's retired now, because I can say it was at Rockford, whatever, the huge hospital in Rockford, which I think is the biggest hospital in the state outside of Chicago. And this is 25 years ago. If you had a Cadillac policy, well, they didn't even know what the term was at the time, but if you had a high-end policy that paid for everything, they basically reamed you right where the sun don't shine. You didn't care because it was your insurance paying for it. You were the guy being sent home with the little baby and the three boxes of Pampers at $80 a box, where the hell they were paying. They just took your insurance company to cleaners. And that was like 20% of the group. The next 25.
The insurance company was willing to go along because they would negotiate these prices. And they would
this is before
make it up in premium. It still was getting back.
This is before even that, Kevin. This is before they had the negotiated prices. And then some firms, some insurance companies, had the negotiated prices, including like Medicare. So in other words, an appendectomy full bore might be $40,000. For somebody who says, hey, wait a minute, we're only paying $10,000 for an appendectomy, the appendectomy was $10,000. Or might have been Medicare, or might have been something. Then there was a price for, I already said Medicare, but then there was Medicaid, which got you like $50 a day, whether you did brain surgery or surgery on somebody who didn't do anything. And then you had people that if they showed up the door, you had to take care of. So there was some, like, insurance going on in the building, where the 1%er people, 1% insurance people, not the 1%ers, were paying for the people who didn't pay at all. It was a big mess. So I obviously realized, and as time went by, Kevin, more and more insurance companies said, we're not paying whatever you choose to charge us. We're all going to negotiate our rates, unless you get some poor guy from out of state who piles in there and needs an appendectomy and doesn't have insurance. Then you charge him whatever you feel like charging, whatever you think he's got. I mean, so the whole system was basically screwed up by any stretch. So one of the solutions is to have, if everybody had insurance, okay, now there's different grades, we've all come to, if everybody had insurance, And the government, almost like Tricky Dick Nixon with his negative income tax, somehow or another, would just take the 20 million people that didn't have insurance and just find a way to get them insurance, then the price for everybody should sort of drop, because the hospitals aren't being forced to take care of people for nothing. And essentially, the squeeze on that was the other people in the hospital. Why should you and I have to pay for the, I use the term indigent, just because we happen to have had an appendectomy in the last month, where if we didn't, only the people who did had to pay it. I mean, this is a societal problem. It's not a patient in the hospital problem, right? So they said, okay, to even this all out, there were iterations with the Hillary Care thing, which actually was better than the Obamacare, I thought. There was a way to say, look, why don't we just stop all these stupid programs and just get everybody insurance instead of having Medicaid and even really Medicare, which probably was still going to stick around, or give everybody Medicare, one or the other. So somehow or another, it went from that simple theory, why don't we just buy 10 million people insurance when insurance was $300 a month and be done with it. We get into this huge, involved, God knows what, 3 years later pops out, and now the thing is worse than probably the original system, if that's even possible. But but the theory wasn't horrible, Kevin, I don't think. Why don't we just get everybody covered?
Well, the theory of everybody having access to coverage was fine, but but then saying, here is what's going to be in all of the coverage, to take basically to take away choices as to how people decided to be covered.
So, you know, you didn't have to do that. I mean,
no, to have a laundry list of these are the, you know, 100 things that must be in every single policy. And by doing so, you know, I was getting charged for insurance I didn't need.
Right, I agree with that.
Others were subsidizing insurance I do need. Because, you know, as an example, did I need maternity insurance? No, I don't think so. But were we allowed to crap? But do I need insurance for colonoscopies and things like that? You know, in colon cancer, yeah. Were we allowed to craft a policy aimed at seniors that you know, that covers the things that matter to them? No. You know, that kind of stuff is just economically
well, Kevin,
stupid.
you lost the ability to, because commensurate with this going on, it's on a parallel track. This is why I thought the thing would be a fiasco in the beginning. Is on a parallel track. I don't have this piece of paper around somewhere, but somebody's going to have to take my sort of word for it. Everybody knows I have a memory on some stuff. In the 2 or 3 years before Obamacare started, there were something like 250 combinations of healthcare companies in the country. You can't have the same president. This is my basically big bitch with Obama, is his total lack of attention to detail. Played golf as much as Trump, if that's possible. I mean, you can't say you're going to have an insurance exchange and 2 years later have no insurance companies but one or two and still call it an exchange. I mean, at some point you have to wake up, you know, you get the aqua velva, cold slap in the face. Wait a minute, I can't have an insurance exchange when I got one insurance company left. I mean, I know that from the trading floor. You can't have a trading pit with two guys there. Well, you can have a pit there, but you might as well bring in a lounge chair, right? I mean, so
you also can't use... originally, they went to the Commerce Clause and said they have the right to regulate the industry and later to tax it. And you can't, and to tax individuals, which was the strained Supreme Court decision that supported Obamacare. But you can't use the Commerce Clause, the Interstate Commerce Clause, to claim that the federal government has a right to get involved, and then turn around and say, but people cannot shop outside their states.
Well,
that's inconsistent.
Well,
that's one of the restraints of trade that has that has kept rates up more so in many places than others.
Two things. One is, I don't believe it's the government telling you that. If it is, it's superfluous, because the people out of state, their insurance company doesn't have a network in your state, so they don't want you. But here's where the basic stuff is, Kevin, and you and I...
No, it's state governments telling you that. It's state governments regulating it and saying you can't do it. Well, but the federal government, if they have the right to go in and say everybody must have this, right, and they have the right to say everybody should be able to shop where they want to shop.
Okay, but my point is, it won't do any good. Because in the words of Bob Cerrone, who knows the industry better than you and I, said you can go to Blue Cross of Iowa and try and buy a policy in Illinois, and they're going to say, we don't have a network in Illinois. We're not paying full bore at these hospitals. We don't have deals with each and every one of them like the Illinois people do. And first of all, you and I would say there shouldn't be a deal. I mean, why should somebody get the appendectomy for 10 when somebody else is paying 30? That we could talk about for two shows. But here's what I think are two things that if we're going to fix this, Kevin, fix it or address it. Never fix really anything, but to address it. We'd have to get some people in a room, and we'll bring some young people like Jay-Z, and we'll say, look, here's the conundrum in the U.S. We don't care, because she's just 21, legal now. Jay-Z, you're 21. You don't want to have any insurance. Okay, fine. Now, if you break a leg playing softball or falling off a karaoke dance stage somewhere.
Falling off a bar stool.
I wasn't going to say that because she's not that type. But she likes karaoke. So she could be on a stage and get so involved in her singing that she'd land on her head. So anyway, she breaks a leg. She doesn't have any insurance. You bring her to the hospital. This is America, okay? We're going to not let her bleed and with the bone sticking out basically on the outside of the door to the hospital. How do we address that? Do we triage it and send her to county? Possible solution. Do we decide to upgrade the county kind of thing? By the way, going to county, a lot of people go there and get pretty good care. Do we want to have some state-driven care centers for those people that don't have insurance around the place where if you feel bad, you can go in there? Should there be 15, there might be, extended care centers for county, I don't know, around, and we'll say, okay, we'll go there, we're going to fix the leg, but by the way, if you want to go to the best surgeon in Northwestern, you better find some money. Okay, but there's probably pretty good surgeons in county anyway. So I'm saying, so what are we going to do with that person or the person who has cancer that says that I'm bulletproof and all of a sudden at age 35 he or she has cancer. I feel sorry for him. But they say, I never thought I needed insurance. Guess what? Now I do. So we need to find a way to do that. And one of the ways, because in America you don't just let the person go suffer and die. That's just not who we are. Whether you're 1% or they're a socialist or whatever, I'm going to say I'll speak for all Americans. That's not who we are. We don't like people in pain. We'll try and take care of them. Hopefully, it's only a few percentage of the population, and we can cover it. All right, that's kind of issue number one, right? I would say, and the other is this idea of hospitals having 4 and 5 step pricing, depending on who we are. To me, Kevin, that's got to be pulled out of the system. I mean, if PTI, you know, we're you know a nice firm. But if we had 50 people, okay, 100 for sure, we should be able to go get a $1 million minimum policy at Lloyd's of London or someplace for a lady who has a baby born prematurely or somebody who has cancer or somebody who has one of these rare diseases. We should be able to cover that. And if I'm the master domo, Dan actually does the numbers here. If we want to put $2,000 a month in a checking account for all the people who work here, for all the other stuff that goes bad with them, and say we can cover out of anything under $20,000 in the hospital, we're just going to write the check. If we want to do that, we should be able to do that. We should be able to compete with the insurance companies on our own, but we can't, because if Kevin O'Neill needs a heart bypass, and the number is it's $150,000. Well, how much is this for Blue Cross? Well, it's $30,000. Whoa. What's the... Oh, no, they've cut a deal. Well, who the hell are they? When I walk in to buy a pound of hamburger, it's not $15 for me, and Jay-Z walks in and it's $3. Well, she's attractive and young, but maybe, but I doubt it. I'm saying that's screwed up, Kevin. So there's two principles right out of the gate that if we don't figure out how we're going to handle those two, we might as well stop writing, because the things end up as a mess, right?
Yeah, look up the Surgery Center of Oklahoma sometime.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now, a few of these places...
Yeah, because that is a place where they post all of their prices and tell you exactly what every procedure is going to cost.
Okay, but having...
So that's a start, and there are other places that do that now.
But having said that... I'm sorry to interrupt, Kevin, but having said that, and you brought that up before, and I'm going to say there's 5 other places like that, and more power to them...
We also are fighting in court against the... pharmaceutical company.
Okay, and we're losing.
Over posting the drug prices.
And we're losing.
That Trump did an executive order saying they had to post their drug prices.
But I'm saying the backdrop of all this, as much as I love the place in Oklahoma, I like the Cleveland Clinic telling you can get an MRI there for $600. I love all that. But in the backdrop, Kevin, that's you and me peeing in Lake Michigan. Because in the meantime, another 2 or 3 hospital groups have been taken over here in Chicago. They're pouring millions of dollars into these places. The overhead inside the building is dramatic. The staff is getting paid a fortune more than the doctors, and there's no way that bus is coming back anytime soon. I mean, if you walk into Rush, these new monoliths, the parking, a couple of people I knew were in the University of Chicago, they went over to see somebody, the parking's $45. And my money that the government, helps them out with? What the bleep, Kevin? I'm saying you're right that there's a little feelers going one way, but the locomotive is still going the other way. When you walk into Rush, I'm going to say that the overhead has got to be 6 to 1 in anything anybody does. It shouldn't
right.
be that high.
But part of the problem, Tom, is that we've sort of legislated the ability to do that because we allow a lot of the hidden pricing, and because because of all the mandates that we've built into things, we just make it easier to do that. And this has evolved over time. This isn't just Obamacare. That just perpetuated it, and in some cases made it worse.
Do you think, See, here's what I think, Kevin. Here's the sinister part that's taking me a half hour to get to. I think these people have become the toll road. They've become the sanitation department. If you're the new mayor, if you're the governor, you can tell them anything. They're not going to do it. You can have the Democrats, Republicans tomorrow could get together, and I'm sure Trump would probably sign it, where it says everything that the hospital does has to be published either online or in a big blackboard showing my age, and anybody should be able to call up and say, I need an appendectomy, my gut hurts, how much is you, and how much is you, and how much... We could change that law tomorrow, Kevin. They won't do it. I think they're too big. They won't do it. We'll never get there.
I think we have we're not going to undo, decades of improper practice in by mandate. It's going to take time.
Well, did you hear this morning about the little old lady who was feeding cats? They not only fined her ass, they want her 11 days in jail in some small town in like Ohio or Indiana or someplace.
That'll teach her.
We can't put an extreme guy who breaks the Sherman Act. When's the last time one of those guys went to jail ever? I mean, we have an amazing view of how to do things in this country.
Yes, we do.
SP Futures still up 6. We're right back. Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, Give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Oshie. He's Jay-Z on the board. He's Mr. Kevin O'Neill, as we're kind of ranting together here. Looking for a better way, and seems like we never seem to run into it. S&P futures up 5.25, and NASDAQ futures up 29. Big mover, Apple, actually traded down after they came out with the numbers yesterday. Traded down to like 196. Now it's trading 217.63. Not 196, straight down to 206, sorry. It's up 882. I won't say that they're not doing well. They are. With this constant interest rates down, more stock buybacks, you know, whatever. Letting people know things are horrible and then saying they're not quite as horrible as you thought. It's starting to get old, but it's still working. Just the way it is. Dow futures up 72. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 32.2%. FTSE down 50.6. The FTSE's been all over the place based on where they're going with this Brexit. Because now they're talking coal Brexit. So if it's coal Brexit, the stock market's down. The British pound continues to sink against the dollar pretty severely, against the dollar and the euro, so that's something to watch. Every day, the cost of a beer gets cheaper over there, heading over. Okay, Iran, up 6, call that 0.1%. Over in Asia, Nikkei down 187.8%, Shanghai down 19.7%, the Hang Seng down 368, 1.3%. A lot of that probably has to do with the idea that these trade negotiations don't seem to be going any place, at least not now. And now Trump's talking about after. If you only elect him again, he'll cut us even a better deal. Whatever, maybe he's right, who knows. Well, up 41 cents, 58.46. Highest we've seen in a while. It's making a run towards 60 again. Rent up 45 cents, 65.17. Natural gas unchanged, 2.14 natural gas. It's one before the winter. We want to keep an eye on that one. Again, there's no easy way to play that, but it's getting down pretty low. Our Bob is $1.90, and we've got gold up 220, 14.38, the highest I think I've seen it. Silver down 7 cents, 16.48. And last but not least, we have the 10-year yield at 2.05. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Prebby Weather Sports.
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:36. Chicago weather today is sunny with a high of 73, low of 63. Phoenix is cloudy with a high of 94, low of 78. In baseball, the White Sox lost to the Mets 5-2. Cubs lost to the Cardinals 2-1. And the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees 4-2. In traffic, there is one accident on I-57 North at Halsted. Be aware of some pretty solid traffic and expect up to 30-minute delays. Nothing else. Back to you.
Kevin, as you... By the way, there was a theme that I started off with this morning. Of course, we managed to wander off. But you brought up a couple of points that... I was talking to your buddy last night, your alter ego, Beldo. So I'm over at the club trying to do something in the swimming pool, stretch his body out. Body sculpt, Kevin? Body sculpt?
Body sculpting, sure.
Yeah, yeah. So Bello walks by. Friday, Tommy, Friday. Bello, what's Friday? Practice starts. What practice would that be? Oh, the Irish. Oh, okay. So, of course, we get into it. And he starts giving me, I guess my question here to you and Jay-Z, can you believe anybody at all? I'm getting to the point where I cannot believe anybody in any position of power on anything they say. So he says to me, you know, it's costing us not being a conference. Beldo, what are you talking about? We have our own TV network. I think we're doing just fine. The place got more money than you got. Ah, geez, it could be a lot better. We're going to have to join a conference. Why do you say that? Well, I listen to Swarbuck. Who the hell is he? Oh, he's our AD, all right. I knew the name then. He says we're losing $20 million a year by not being in a conference. I said, Beldo, first of all, bud, I love you like a brother, but don't you understand, you and I are from the trading floor. We walked in with 150 grand on our account, and we walked home that night, and we had 140. We lost money. Yeah, what's your point? I said, these people don't think that way. Reinsdorf has never lost a dime on a season with the White Sox, but he'll tell you it cost him, he's lost nothing but money by keeping him here. It means he could have made more somewhere else. It's not the same definition as you and I. So the fact that we're losing money, how could we be losing money? We have a national NBC contract. We got 80,000 people in the stands. We just built skyboxes for all the loser 1%ers to come in and our jets. We could be making more. That's not the same as losing in my mind. It's just, I just got this trading floor mentality.
Well, you could consider leaving money on the table, but, you know, if you can sink, let's just say half of the stadium expansion project went to football and the other half went to, all of the all other that's incorporated into it, some of its academics, some of its student life, and so on. So let's just say it's only $200 million, plus the cost of this giant indoor practice facility that they're building across the street from the football stadium that also has its own video board built into it, you know, to give you an idea of how extravagant that's going to be. And so you're telling me we can sink hundreds of millions into the program and there's some kind of cash flow problem here? Well, I don't think so.
Well, then I said, he goes, we're down to like number 7 in Forbes and we're down to 4 in the Wall Street Journal, most profitable programs. I said, first of all, Bella, if everybody in the conference was doing better, why aren't we like 30th or something? Well, I don't know. I said, because you can't believe anything these guys say. Not a word. It's unfortunate.
Well, here's the other thing that you need to know about that, because you see, this comes up once in a while, this whole profitability thing. Now, it all comes off of Title IX reporting, that these are public reports that the schools have to make to the government that show their expenditures on men's and women's sports. And so for the journalists who, and I put that in quotes, who like to report on those things as if they are telling, the part that is supposed to be accurate is the expense number to show that you are making, you know, an appropriate level of expenditure on both sides of the equation, men's and women's. The part that is revenue is there's a couple of points to be made about it. First, it's an FYI number. So if you go, and I've looked at this from the basketball standpoint, if you go through and start looking, you will find that there are any number of schools that will report a program's revenue and expenses exactly equal. I mean to the dollar. Now, the probability that any one school is going to have revenue and expenses equal to the dollar is very, very low. The probability that dozens of schools are going to have revenue equals expenses on basketball to the dollar is just, you know, unlikely. What does it tell you? It tells you that people who don't feel like it are plugging the numbers. The second thing to know is that what the school takes as revenue in many cases is just ticket revenue. And they don't allocate any of their merchandising revenue, and they don't allocate any of, of all kinds of other things that go off the books. That they don't allocate any of that to it as well. So what I'm really saying is every time I see one of those reports, I go ahead and take a look at the Title IX thing, I do the math and say, oh, they're using crappy data. They don't know what they're talking about.
Well, and I think that's part of it.
I think that's all of it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, people, why would somebody, I mean, we had a little dinner on Monday night, some of the Notre Dame guys, and your name was brought up as we toasted Bob.
Usually with an adjective in front of it.
No,
right?
As being somebody that was right there for, it was a year anniversary yesterday of contributor to the show, Bob Golden's death, and a tough day for us. I tell you what, as much as miss him as a pal, really miss him on the show. I mean, we've had a lot of tax issues the last year. We could have sure used him on. Use a bad word, but I mean, Bob would have sure contributed too.
He always had a great way of talking about the complicated subject matter in a real simple way, in a real understandable way.
And I knew not to get too complicated with him because nobody would understand it, including me. So, so we had a good tandem on that, Kevin. He didn't go too far into it, and I didn't ask. So, because I really didn't want to know the nuts and bolts of the double Dutch sandwich, but I'm sure there are some, shall we say. The other thing I wanted to bring up is, this is one now, when we talk about crime and punishment, and one of the reasons why I brought up the lady going to jail for 11 days for feeding feral cats, we seem to have this amazing ability, I'll use a weird term, you know, to spank our family members and our neighbors. But we don't seem to be able to deal with high crime at all. We never send anybody to jail for an antitrust issue. Because I think most people have no concept of how much that actually costs them. A simple case there, Kevin, would be, I've been wearing contact lenses since I was 16. And I think that every time there's a new contact lens solution maker, they get bought by somebody. So I'm going to say for the last 50 years, or not as many, quite that many, I've been paying $2 more a bottle for contact lens stuff than I, quote, should have had. Doesn't seem like a lot of money. I buy them 3 times a year, so it's not breaking me. But you multiply that times the amount of people, there's real money involved in this. And we don't seem to be able to make the equation where it's easy to put the next-door neighbor in jail for winging cat food out there. Now, there's Boeing this morning in the Wall Street Journal. Regulators knew there was a high risk after the first 737 MAX crash. FAA decided it would be enough to inform pilots of a possible hazard, and then look what happened. Same way with the DC-10s back in our day, when the cargo door didn't close right, and they said, well, we should bring all these planes in and make sure we fix them. And somebody said, no, I'll just put them on their regular routine. And guess what? Another one went down. Now, I don't know that jailing helps these people, but let's just say that the relationship between the remaining commercial aircraft manufacturer and the FAA is something less than arm's length. I mean, I don't see how anybody would debate me on that. It's like the New York Stock Exchange when they were the only boy in town in the SEC. It was known as SEC North. You know, I mean, we haven't figured out how to deal with this. And somewhere along the line, I think we have to, Kevin, or maybe we don't. Maybe we could just keep going on year after year the way we're going. But I find it very troubling that Boeing is, nobody's missing a paycheck, and yet we got some lady going to jail in Ohio. What's wrong with us? I mean, but look, hold that for after the break. S&P futures up 7, NASDAQ futures up 33. Apple, a big story this morning, up 9:45 now, 218.23. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including 4 past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering 3 research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top 3 tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than 3 decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, North Bay Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom. She's Jay-Z. She's Mr. Kevin O'Neill. S&P Futures up 675. NASDAQ Futures up 32. Kevin, how in any kind of a, whether we're capitalists, whether we're business friendly, whether we're socialists, whether we like regulatory stuff, simple fact is when you get to down to a monopolist in one group in government that supposedly regulates them, it's a problem. I mean, it's a problem for the electric company anywhere. It's a problem for the gas company. It's a problem for the airlines when you got one manufacturer and one inspector. Obviously it's not good business to drop. I'm not in the camp that if we don't watch Boeing, they like to crash planes. I mean, I don't think that they do that at all, and I don't think anybody does. I mean, you don't know who is supposed to be watching them. I mean, you could have a system where the insurance company watches them, I guess, instead of the government, because the government doesn't do a very good job. I mean, I don't know what the point is. Anybody who thinks that the some schmo in the FAA, you know, after the first crash, having the authority or the stones to say, you know, we're plopping these things on the ground for a while and see what happened. I got to believe that the shrill voice of congressman on that guy's phone would drive him out of the office just by the noise. I don't know the solution here, but I know that it's a problem the way it is.
Yeah, and we go back to what we originally discussed. You know, are we capitalist? Are we socialist? Or what? Well, you know what? That integration, that crony capitalist model, the integration of government and business, really is part of the, you know, is more of a socialist model. And you see, you know, it works about as well here as we venture into those kinds of relationships, those kinds of tightness of government and business. It works here just about as well as it works any other socialist country.
Why do you say? I'm going to, as a former Democrat, never a socialist, I'm going to say that I've always been absolutely on the opposite side of that. Whenever United took over, what did they take over? Continental. Every single quote business right winger on TV is saying, "You go, girl. This is just business. That's what you do. You take out the competition and raise prices." Every business person thinks that that's perfect. I never thought that at all. I mean, and I'm no socialist, but that's insane to me. That's fascist, is what that is.
Well, I think you're agreeing with me and not realizing it. That what I'm saying is that when those relationships become too close, they do, which is where we are now in many industries, then they do start to resemble. The industry starts to acquire all the inefficiencies of government.
Well, and they are, yeah.
Because now we get into, instead of being forced and highly motivated, they don't want things to crash, like you said, but do they have the same pressure on them that they should? Do they have the pressure on them to have their houses in order in terms of safety and how they go about it? And I would say no. When the regulators and the business become one, which is essentially what has happened in many, same thing in oil. When that starts to happen, then you start to get all of those bad characteristics.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, Kevin, a little bit, maybe because I just happen to be my small sample, that when that first plane went down, and, you know, we reported on it on the show, and we had Lou on, and Lou knew something about what happened, and I just was kind of suspicious that it seemed a little odd to me, the way the thing, it seemed like there was a problem. And I was in a few coffee shops, churches, maybe a couple of bars, where people were talking about it. Overwhelming, and I'm not going to blame this, you know, on anybody who happens to be occupying the Oval Office or anything. I'm not going to blame this. The entire tone of every one of those conversations, and I don't know their politics, but I'm guessing there's probably more right than left, but I don't know that. The entire tone was, these were Ethiopian pilots. What do they know? It wouldn't have happened here. If we'd have trained these guys, it wouldn't be a problem. Blah, 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 blah. We're not going to say it was rated. It's the typical psychological response that it only could happen to those guys because they're dumbos and we're not. That it can't be Boeing. And that's a very natural response, you know, to people. It's like if somebody walks across the street and hit by a bus, the first thing you're going to say is, was the light red? The reason why you're saying that is you're trying to distance yourself from whatever happened. I mean, the idea that our biggest company here, Boeing, put a plane in the air that could possibly be so screwed up that it went down 2 seconds after takeoff, nobody wants to believe that. So we're gonna immediately believe the fact that the other pilot A was an American, whether he's black, white, or blue, I guess it doesn't matter, but the fact that he probably was white, was blue or black, made it even better. But he's from Ethiopia, where he was from. Now, he's not the same as here. He didn't know how to fly. Where'd he get his license? Kmart. The jokes are flying all around the place. And the fact is, it might actually be a Boeing problem. Now, are we going to stare that in the face and be sorry what we said for these other guys, or what are we going to do? Not remember what we said, or what are we doing here?
Well, it might also, it can be both.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, it can be that, you know, with the right let's just say the best, not necessarily the right, but the best training for pilots, that they would know how to a pilot would know how to react to a situation. But is that the design that we want? Is pilots having to react properly to design flaws in the computer system?
Well, what are the
I would say no. I'd rather that not be the case.
One of the most interesting things I heard was this guy who's an architect. He's been a pilot forever too. I mean, I think he stopped because he's getting up there, but he said the difference is, and he goes, in his mind, is most people here that are pilots, and this made some sense, though, whether it's true or not, who the hell knows. Most people here either learn how to fly, you know, when they were sort of younger, you know, stick and rudder guy in a Piper Cub, or in the military. And even though your specs from your airline might say, the second you get off the ground, you flip on the autopilot, there's no self-respecting American pilot is going to give up the plane to anything until he feels safe. So our guys probably take the damn thing up to 10, 15,000 feet before they flip the switch, where people elsewhere probably actually do what they're told and turn the autopilot on too early, and that was causing the problem. Now, that to me makes sense.
You know, that's, yeah, it does. And that's, you know, all of that is fine. But I guess where I'm going is, you know, I'm really saying to you, you know, it can be both, and you know the bigger issue, that I would take with anybody's initial reactions is that they had initial reactions at all. Why don't we, you know, this is, you know, another problem that we have is everybody's got to react to everything. Everybody's got to explain things that take weeks to determine, and we have to come out there and have an opinion day one. And
well, there's no doubt, Kevin, that if
sometimes the value of an unexpressed thought is very high.
Well, I'm looking at the bridge over the river, the Eisenhower. Now, if I'm watching it, and all of a sudden one of the leaves plops into the river, you could count on it that there's going to be some dumb news reporter, hopefully not me, out there interviewing people. Why do you think the thing fell in? How would anybody possibly know that isn't a bridge structural engineer why the thing conked? I mean,
and wouldn't it be great to have somebody look into the camera and say, is that the stupidest question I've ever had?
Yeah, I'm not a...
Of course, I wouldn't make it on television.
No, no. I mean, what are you doing? Why would I know? I mean, do I look like a bridge guy or a girl? I mean,
yeah, I'll give you a different example, because Amazon just opened up a distribution center in South Bend. Well, I happened to be in downtown South Bend on Friday, and there were some protests over it. Now, I don't know why people are protesting, you know, 100 jobs that pay pretty well, as well as... You know, one of the things, like Amazon or not, they are putting together funding packages for people who want to start their own delivery businesses because they need some independent contractors in the area. So, you know, you want to launch a business here, we'll make it easy for you because, you know, we want to be your first customer. Okay, all of that's good. I happen to be walking down the street as the local TV reporter was wrapping up, so I wound up talking to her for a while, and she didn't know a damn thing about any of this stuff.
Was she attractive?
So I'm sitting here thinking, oh, well, you're out there doing man on the street, you're reporting on this, and you don't know any of this?
Kevin, was she attractive?
What's going on? So, you know, that goes back to, you know, one of the things Cheryl Atkinson told us, is that people know... they know the media part of what they're supposed to be doing, but they don't know subject matter. We don't have subject matter experts in the media.
Did you ask her for her phone number so you could explain this to her?
Oh, God. You know, my daughter was with me.
Oh.
She was younger than my daughter.
Oh, God. Was it one of those deals? Well, then, I'm glad you refrained.
Another friend of mine, will tell the story periodically.
All right, Kevin, we only got 10 seconds. We'll continue this on Friday.
He's with his sister, and she says, looking at a girl, and she says, she just looks at you and sees old.
Well, isn't that the truth? Hey, we'll continue this on Friday. If Amazon's so good, why can't we take away their tax dodge? Anyway, we'll talk about that.
We're not going in. Yeah. That's not the point.
I know. SP Futures on 575. We'll be back with Mr. Russell Rhodes. Kevin, talk to you Friday, buddy. Take care.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly. He's Mr. Russell Rhodes, Professor Russell Rhodes.
Right.
She's Jay-Z, soon to be. Are you going to be a professor one of these days, Jay-Z?
Probably not.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
You know things.
Hey, you know stuff.
I don't know.
Yeah, you got wisdom to share.
Being in the classroom isn't really my thing. I feel like I mean, maybe it would be. I'd rather be like a motivational speaker.
You know, being a professor,
speaker.
You don't have to be in the classroom pretty soon. Everybody's just going to do it online.
Yeah.
Even worse.
You could do that.
No, that's
you can't so
training.
Boring.
This is training for that.
If anything, I would rather be in the classroom at that point because then I could at least, like, tell stories and, like, have relationships with my, like, you know, have friendships. You know what I mean. Not relationships.
You're about to say relationships with your students.
I was going to, and then...
You can get a new one
can't,
every
can't do that
day.
Today.
Just swipe mean, right or left or whatever. I don't know.
You mean you'd learn from your students and you'd go back and forth and you'd learn together, that kind of relationship.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that we can roll with that. The you know, Eric does some pretty neat stuff by being an author.
Mm-hmm. He goes, I would be an author. That would be cool.
I tell you, one of the best ways to learn about a topic is write a book about it.
Oh, I can only imagine. Wow, the depth
of
detail.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I kind of became associated with Vicks for a while. And someday I might write another book on Vicks.
Well, you need to you need to be one of these people that we were just talking about with Kevin that, like, if a bridge goes down, you're an instant, even though you know nothing about anything, you're an instant opinion person in front of the microphone. Oh, God, I know why that went down. Why would you know? You don't even know how the thing was built. Just, you know, you got to have an opinion on everything. You know, that's how that works.
It's really funny because I watched the Democratic debate last night. You know, my favorite candidate wants to govern through love.
Well,
I'm actually,
not, you know.
I'm thinking about putting my hat in the ring, but I was going to govern through nonchalance.
Yeah.
You know, we've had those
guys. We've had those guys. Who was the...
Eisenhower was like that, I believe.
Well, no, there actually was a guy. See if you can Google this, Jay-Z. We had a president. It was before Wilson, somewhere in the late 1800s.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who absolutely was convinced that his job as president was to do nothing, because if he did anything, he screwed things up. And he did nothing. Like, well, you know, I mean, he must have done something, but he... I mean, there was a guy that was his shtick.
Mm-hmm. Walk quietly and carry no stick and phone it in.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm looking at the Apple stuff here, and here's mm-hmm. a guy, and talking about why the five reasons why the Apple stock here is kind of soaring. It was up over now nine, not only 881, which is, you know, pretty darn good, and it's pretty interesting the. Who knows if he's right or not, but now the revenue was dramatically down from last year. You know, we're down from, $61 billion to $58, which isn't dramatic, but it's down. And, it says, as ever with Wall Street, the actual numbers matter little. The stock price impact is all about reality versus expectations. In the immortal words of Mayor Richard J. Daley, if he would have said something, he would have said, who are these expectators? Like he did say, who are these alligators? Remember that? Yeah.
Google says Herbert Hoover.
Actually, Herbert Hoover.
Hoover.
Yeah. I'm going to say that I'm going to say that that's not true.
Yeah, would you build a giant dam from a guy that... Well, I guess dams don't do a whole lot. They just sit there, so maybe that's appropriate.
Well, they better sit there or else you got a problem. Actually, I'm going to say that the book that I would encourage everybody to read, Jay-Z, you for sure, not because, well, I don't know, it's a book you got to do like one chapter a night because it's one of those. I'm going to say that J. Edgar Hoover was one of the most brilliant men that ever was in the White House. Up until Trump's time, he was probably the only guy who had businesses all over the world. He was considered a tremendous engineer. And a lot of the stuff that Roosevelt actually did in the New Deal, Hoover had thought about and tried and couldn't get it passed. He was no dummy at all. And
The crisis was too much when FDR had the crisis to take advantage of to get those things done. Sometimes it's a matter of great idea, but being at the right place at the right time.
Well, Hoover attempted to work through the business community in terms of jobs and things. And it one of the lines in the book is, I've never come across a worse group of people than people that run businesses. You know, and that was his comment. And he was a businessman his whole life. But don't think for a second that he was not. It's sort of like, you know, Gerald Ford was the clumsy president. Do we ever have a president who was an All-American before? An All-American?
I doubt, you know, I think George W. Bush was an All-American cheerleader, and his father was quite the baseball player. But no, we did not have an All-American football player before or after.
But, I mean, we were talking about people who, you know, I've skied, and when you ski, if you fall, if you've never skied, you've got no business coming somebody who falls grief skiing, because if you're not falling, you're not trying, mm-hmm. right? Pretty much. I mean, it's, people have an amazing views of the world. You know, Tricky Dick was just this. No, Tricky Dick was a very smart man. I mean, when he actually beat wasn't there a Supreme Court case where he came from California and beat some huge Eastern law firm in front of the Supreme Court, and that's when people said, who the hell is this guy, or something like that?
I know he built his name up as a lawyer first and then, you know, switched over into politics.
Yeah, and one of his thoughts, even when he was a president, was the negative income tax, which mm-hmm. comes back in how many different iterations virtually every few years. Somebody said, look, instead of having all these mm-hmm. programs where, you know, 10 cents on the buck makes it to the person who's actually poor, let's just send them a check. I mean, Johnson's War on Poverty, if you would have taken the amount of money we spent on it, divided it by the amount of poor people and sent them a check, you wouldn't have had any poor people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we have this you know, moral hazard with doing this kind of stuff, which I, by the way, happen to agree with. You know, you need something other than just send people checks. But just by definition, you know, you don't help people by having some massive program where 90% of the money is sucked off by the suckers along the way, and nothing makes it to the bottom either. If you're going to get it to the bottom, get it to the bottom, right?
I mean, just go ahead and get, directly to the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, but nobody wants to do that because everybody wants to make the dough along the way. All right, so anyway, this either decent guidance for quarter three, not good, just decent. Strong results for iPad wearables and some of the other stuff, which I guess is good. And then their guidance implies a turnaround in China. Boy, that's a reach. I mean, that's a big reach.
You know, so when you first mentioned Apple, I was, because that's a stock that will benefit if they get a trade deal. There's no question.
I don't know if they'll benefit, Russell.
And you believe that before anything comes out of the White House, that some of their buddies know about 12 hours in advance.
Oh, without a question.
So now what I've been doing is trying to figure out what'll benefit, seeing if it's moving, and then I automatically know that the trade deal's almost done.
Well, I don't think. Well, now we're talking about.
This could be all about the trade deal, and we're all guessing wrong.
Then the last one, of course, is stock buybacks, which mm-hmm. I don't mean. What do you say in class when you give it? We had a guy for taxation, big, huge guy, played football. Guy had shoulders so wide he almost had to go through the door sideways. I don't know where he played, but he's a big, huge guy. Dinkelo is his name. He's got to be long since dead. He'd call everybody, go, students? He'd call everybody students. Do you do that?
I do not call them students. I call them carbon-based brain pods.
Oh, okay.
that way I don't look at them in, or think of them in any capacity that might offend them.
God. Let's just say,
I say that the first day of class. I go, in my mind, you're all carbon-based brain pods, so don't take anything personally.
I remember being so thrown off my first day of college in Indiana, and they asked me what my pronoun was, and I was like, nobody's ever asked me this before. I'm so confused.
What did you say?
Well, we had to, like, write it down on a card, and then I obviously wrote my pronoun, but I was just, like, just remember being really thrown off. Like, what?
Where did you go to school down there?
Ball State.
Okay.
But, yeah, now well, I
go to Ball. What are your choices? Ball State. I know I'm talking old school here.
Basically, he, she, or they.
Or they, yeah.
They?
Yeah. They.
What does they mean?
If you're gender fluid or gender neutral, you are a they.
I would never have known that. I would have thought it was he, she, or it.
No, I don't think. I don't think it. You know, there's one cousin it, and he'll always be it.
All right. You guys.
No, it's he, she, or they.
You have just wiped me away with this one, right?
I know. I've really got you off kilter today. I can tell.
They? Like there's two people.
You've never heard this?
There's two people in here conflicting. I'm two people. I'm bad enough being one.
So, yeah, they is a, yeah. That's very common. It's very common. I've had a couple of students come up and tell me that at the beginning. I don't ask. They volunteer it. But I've had a couple of students that have.
What if you put down
shared that?
What if you put down?
I say okay. I'll do my best to keep that in mind. That's because I'm.
No, what are you supposed to do with that information?
Make sure that you do your very best to not call somebody a she that wants to be called a they. That is what you, that in my position, that is what I do. I do my very best to respect their wishes along those lines.
But what if
and honestly, it's not that big of a deal, but then again, I'm an old middle-aged white guy and I make mistakes along those lines and I tell them that as well. I might make a little bit of a mistake, but I come from a different generation. Bear with me and politely correct me if I offend you.
But are they the theys?
I really try my best to walk this line.
Are they stronger than Webster?
Sometimes I get on a tear.
Are they stronger than Webster where they would be more than one person?
Well, see, that's what confused me is my daughter was telling me the other morning or the other evening at dinner that she was sharing a story about me. And she goes, and they thought it was funny. And I go, who are you telling? I thought you were just talking to one person. And she goes, oh, no, that's this person I defend on. This is they. So,
you know, I don't see why you get to...
I just came up 2 days ago. It's like when you learn a new word and you hear it again.
Yeah, but why do you get to read
it? I love that we have gone down this path. You want to talk about Apple, and we're talking about they.
I'm just curious. Why are we going down? Why do we have to... Okay, he, she...
Because...
I can go with... Haven't figured it out yet. I can go with whatever day it happens. What day is it? I'll let you know.
Well, I think they is a you haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, but it still doesn't make you two people. That's what I'm sort of getting to.
I know it's a plural. Instead of a singular. I get that. So I think them is another one that goes.
How about confused or something?
I get it. It doesn't sound right to me. It's like. You know, that leaps is a singular to bring it back to the business world.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
Let's talk about Apple.
Yeah, so we seem to be locked in this.
Sorry.
We seem to be locked in this circle of, and to me, again, this is my monetarist theory, University of Chicago crap that they beat into me when I was there. They beat into me because if I wanted an A, I had to, like, learn it in that regard. It wasn't like nuns and rulers, but it was, you know, same thing. If you wanted an A, you better think along the same lines. We're in this, to me, this mindless trap of artificially low interest rates, so the government can have a huge deficit and not really feel the pain it should be feeling because of it. Even though you now have Republican people in there, we're talking about massive deficits. When the chief trumpeter tells you it's the best economy in the history of God, right? And then you also have people in businesses that have decided the market is the God, even though a appreciable part of the population doesn't really have much in the market, but some do. And now you have this point where some people, meaning Apple, Microsoft, can borrow money at this ridiculously low rate to buy their stock back, yet any other person, unless you go to one of our platforms here, like at IB or someplace, you're still paying a fortune for a margin loan. Most mm-hmm. places are still charging 6 or something absurd, the old-time firms. Or you're paying 25% on a credit card. This whole thing, to me, is... It's almost like a nightmare, Russell. I feel like I should wake up from or something. I can't even define what this is economically from my background. Can you?
No, it's a different type of environment for sure, and all we're doing is making life real easy for the banks. But as long as the banks exist, the rest of us have jobs and everything. If we don't have the banking system working right, I'm being a little bit sarcastic here, nothing else is going to work right, correct?
Well, I mean,
the whole excuse behind bailing them out when everything goes wrong.
And you know what? I'll speak out of school here a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to.
No, do.
As you know, as a firm, a full service brokerage firm, we have to be very aware of a lot of regulations and and all kinds of stuff. And we are. I mean, we take very great pride in doing that. And one of the biggest thrusts of FINRA, the old NASD and stuff, in the last few years is essentially how you treat old people. But we're talking about definitions from people that are 30 years old, and how old people are, how they're supposed to act, and by the way, how you're supposed to treat them. Now, first of all, anybody who's listening to me knows I would no more hurt anybody, much less an old person, than I would, than a man in the moon. Yet the idea of what's appropriate for older people, we're talking about people that have 401ks, have saved up the obligatory $1 million or whatever you're supposed to have a retirement with. But now you say, guess what? That money's worth nothing, okay, at any bank, or worth 1% or 0.5%. It's worth zero, or if you want to put it in any kind of a decent bond, you're getting 3 or something, even with risk, by the way. Or you can put it in the market, and you can chase stuff all over the place. Because now the market is going to go up if the rates are this low, because where else can you get the return, correct? I mean, that's just... And if any kind of capital
has the pricing... Yeah, there's no other place for money to go. That's one of the reasons the stock market keeps going up these days.
And if you have a 6 flat and you can get money for free, and what's the place worth? Pick a number. Because, if you divide something by 0, it's infinite, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this thing going, and yet a lot of the people that I come across or call me, and a lot of them I steer away from, to be perfectly blunt, are people that are 75 years old, are chasing every return they can get. If they found out that Russell Rhodes Trailer Parks was paying 10%, they wouldn't care if you didn't have a trailer on the other side of the gate. They'd buy into it. The chasing of returns right now is incredible, worse in the older people than the younger people, because the younger people are still working. If you're 35 or 40, you'll say, just put me in something decent, because guess what? Somewhere along the line, if I want to be conservative, I'll be able to get 3.5% in the bank again, and I don't need to go crazy. But if you're 75, some of these guys are crazed, where they're looking for, they're taking money out to live on, and yet they want to buy the most... They want to be in BYND. What do you mean? How come I'm not in Beyond the Meat? What do you mean? You got no business in Beyond the Meat.
You got to own the Beyond Meat.
Yeah. But now tell that to somebody who's 75, and you say, by the way, FINRA thinks you're old. I'm not old. Screw them. I mean, it's an amazing world we live in, between all this stuff you're supposed to be being careful of, and the people you're supposed to be being careful of are the ones that are driving you to go to do stuff you would never do yourself. Now, I won't do that, so I lose clients because of that, right? A lot, you know, which is unfortunate. But you know what? I just don't want that. I mean, I don't want that on my plate. And that's me. Now, I mean, if you're not selective like that, I guess you do a little better for a while. But I mean, I have a real problem understanding this whole thing, Russell. I mean, I don't get the part where we're gonna buy more stock back. I mean, part of the article this morning I was reading is that now when you get to this price, Apple should be the biggest company in the world again. But it's not because they got 100 million less shares than the year before. I mean, how do you tell your students?
Down a little bit.
I mean, what is the number? And you maybe I read this some couple places that if you take from 2009 on, it's something like over half. I've read as much as 70%, 65% of the entire amount of new money in the market has been firms buying their own stock back.
Oh yeah, no, it's an incredible number.
What does that tell you about market valuation?
Well, it tells you that they've been jacking their valuations a little bit. It also is just telling you that money over that course of over that time period has been cheap. You know. And
for
then
them.
Finally, I mean, part of it is, it's a non-taxed way to make your shareholders a little bit wealthier. You know, I mean, Buffett preaches up and down companies that are buying back, that are doing a combination of buying back shares and paying dividends. I mean, it's the best of all worlds. In fact, when he bought IBM, and that did not work out for him. But a big reason that he decided to invest in IBM was because they were buying back shares, and they were on pace to, if they kept buying back shares at the pace that they were buying back shares, they don't have as much money to do it now as they used to, he would have been the only public shareholder within like 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, well, what?
And they were really on a rapid pace.
Also, when do you get to the point, obviously when it's not your money. By the way, you traded for a bit, didn't you?
Yeah,
I thought you did. I mean, CBOT or both?
Name the third one.
CME. You were
CME. Yeah,
you were with those guys. Yeah. Those guys were always a little shady. I thought, you know.
Yes, we are. It was great. I got some stories.
Oh, I imagine we should.
I got some stories.
By the way, did you listen to last Friday's show? When I had did you listen to last Friday's show? When I had the coach on. Doug Redman?
No.
It was classic. Absolutely classic. Thank God.
I have some, the Eurodollar option pit was...
I can only imagine.
Yeah. And people didn't show pictures on their phones, but everybody seemed to have Polaroids from the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess... Well, that's not where I was sort of going with this, but the...
This is really why you like to have me on, because I just get you all over the
place. Oh, yeah. Well, that's fine.
It's a giant zigzag.
Well, that's what professors do.
But we do come back to a point.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, I want to get to the point where I get to piss away like a real lot of money of other people's money, and then just say, "Well, I did it for this reason." I'm talking about a company. I remember IBM when I was first on the floor. At one point, this is a long time ago, where they bought so much stock back at like 260, and then the stock went down to like 150 or something. And I'm sitting there going, that's a horrible trade. I don't care if you're buying stock back. You just lost $100 a share. It reminded me, we don't publish it so much anymore. Mm-hmm. Back when people were trying to protect their currency, and you'd hear like the Bank of Japan bought, 90 bazillion.
Oh, yeah.
90 bazillion yen at some number, say at $2, and at the end of the day it was still, 190 or something. And I'm sitting there going,
you want to be on the other side of those trades.
Yeah, let me get this straight.
That's how how Soros made all his money. He was on the other side of the Bank of England trade.
Well, but I mean,
I don't want to lose the buyback topic before we hit the
right. Well, but it's sort of the same thing. I mean, these guys. Yeah. When you look at the prices, they're buying some of it back. Sometimes they basically just pissed away. Let me get this straight. A government employee just went out and bought $200 billion worth of dollars, and then 4 hours later sold it at 190, and he's telling me he did me some good. It looks like to me like he lost $10 billion of our dough.
Yeah, and didn't and in the long run, it didn't really change much either.
No, I mean,
but on the buyback thing, I do want to. This is going to be a shocker, but our girl AOC actually made a good point the other day. And she was actually talking about how buybacks used to be illegal and the conflict of interest associated with buying shares back because CEOs get compensated based on what the stock price is.
By the way, it was never illegal.
Well, I went back and dug on that, and I saw before 1982 it was I thought before 82 it was either difficult or illegal.
Well, you could only do it in like 1 hour per day. There was all kinds of regulations.
Oh, yeah, there used to be a window.
Yeah, there was a window
and
you could do it.
That was even until more recently because I when I was on the buy side at a hedge fund, there was a stock that we owned, and we would get a call from the broker that did the buyback for the company on a pretty regular basis in the last hour of the day because that's when they would do it.
No, there used to be a window. You couldn't do it first. Then it became you couldn't do it first hour, last hour. Here's how about something moral, Russell? How about something real simply moral that any board members that have a stock option recuse themselves from that vote?
Oh, the buyback vote?
Yeah.
That's a well.
Do we even think like that anymore?
I see no reason that doesn't make sense. Actually, I would take it a step further. I think it should be a shareholder wide vote.
I think most people would rather the dividend.
Yeah, I think that as an owner of a company, which the shareholders are, they should have the right to say to either say we prefer an increase in dividend or we prefer money go toward a buyback. And you know what? Maybe everybody gets to vote, and they have let's say they got $100 that they're going to use.
All right, you got to hold that thought, buddy. S&P futures up 575. NASDAQ futures up 30. We come back. We're going to critique the Fed, bud. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Russell Rhodes, Professor Russell Rhodes. And I think we heard soon-to-be Professor Jay-Z. I don't know about that necessarily. Now, Emma, yes, I don't know.
Maybe a high school teacher, but not a professor.
You'd be everybody's favorite.
Oh, my God. That is the one area I would never step into.
Yeah, I mean, I'd do second grade first.
No
yeah.
way. No.
Yeah, can you imagine me
in second grade? I'd be first grade. It'd be like being around a bunch of drunk people all day.
Oh, God. That's maybe years up 6 1/4.
My kid's first grade teacher said that once.
God, we had a...
It's like being around a bunch... Some days it's just like being around a bunch of drunk.
Well, today's world, half the kids are drunk, so it probably is true.
Yeah. Yeah. Half of them are on some kind of pill.
Yeah, Nasdaq futures up 31. Dow futures up 67. We got the Fed, obviously, the meeting, the decision today, and the press conference today. So we got all that going for it. But the DAX up 29.2%, FTSE down 47. Well, these guys have been rocking and rolling back and forth with this pound, haven't they? Russell, with the back and forth on this Brexit, cold mm-hmm. Brexit, or bad Brexit, or good Brexit. CAC ran up 7, call that flat. Over in Asia, we got the Nikkei. These guys are all down here today. Nikkei down 187.9%. Shanghai down 20, that's 0.7%. Insane. This thing has been all over the place, obviously with the riots and everything else. Plus they closed early ahead of a typhoon. That can't be good. They're down 368, 1.3%. We've got oil up 49 cents, 58.54. Brent 65.21. So that spread is, actually only $6.70. It's about as low as we've seen it. Gold up 50 cents, 14.36. Silver down 8 cents, 16.47. And last but not least, we got bonds at 205.8, almost 2.6. Jay-Z, what he's got for us, traffic, weather, sports. If the Cubs can't score, the Sox, we want to see the Sox tonight, so I'll give a complete report tomorrow on that.
Well, perfect. Hold on. All right. Anyway, good morning, everyone. But especially to my dear friend Juma, who's listening for the first time today. The time is now 7:36. Chicago weather today is sunny with a high of 73 and a low of 63. Phoenix is cloudy with a high of 94, low of 78. In baseball, the White Sox lost to the Mets 5-2. Cubs lost to the Cardinals 2-1, and the Diamondbacks beat the Yankees 4-2. In traffic, there was an accident on Lakeshore Drive going north just before 47th Street. Expect delays up to 20 minutes, but nothing else. Back to you.
Russell, here's a
yes, sir.
Headline here, and just what we were talking about. It's on CNBC. Apple stock gains last 4 years prove financial engineering via buybacks works. Apple's net income this year
proves it.
Yeah, it proves it. Apple's net income this year is projected to be almost equal to what the company booked 4 years earlier, yet the stock has nearly doubled. There you go. So explain that, Professor.
So it proves it. Apple, one case proves it. Well, you know why Apple is, but Apple is not an ordinary case. And I don't know what the situation is now, but I do know that Apple had a lot of profits over in Europe that they didn't want to repatriate to the United States for tax reasons. So they issued bonds based on that cash, and they've been using that cash to buy shares back.
Right.
So it's a financial... I'm not saying it's trickery. I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. But it's not a typical case of a company buying their shares back. And I don't think anything with respect to Apple and a buyback proves anything about buybacks.
Well, if you apply it to
you know, I mean, IBM bought a bunch of shares back, and the stock has just floundered around, done nothing.
Well, so but if you look at the...
That proves it doesn't work.
Well, Mr. Professor, if you look at the, you look at the theory of it, if everybody sort of does it, at the same time, you have interest rates down to damn near zero for most people.
Yeah.
You essentially cut the supply of stock a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
And
you have... You because I mean like I say it, I don't really know. I mean, I'd love to be more of a theorist if I knew more about calculus. I knew it one at one time, but boy, I don't know it now.
You'll lose that one.
I don't know what when you get to the extreme on anything. I don't know what it gives you, Russell. I mean if interest rates go from 5 to 4.5 or 5 to 5.5. I think with my monetarist background, I could tell you what should happen virtually at every part of society, especially if you have banks that have prime rate and people buying and borrowing with the prime rate and prime plus this and something plus that. I could pretty much tell you how it would piggy move up or move down all the way through the economy. Now, I wouldn't be 100% right, but at least there'd be some effect that everybody would feel, either good or bad, you know, for the... To try and manage the supply of money and those kinds of things and keep things pointed forward. When you get down to Paul Volcker at, you know, 15% or 12%, where he's putting savings and loans out of business because they don't wait if they're paying passbook at 12% and financing people 6% mortgage. I mean, that math just doesn't work. Or you get down to where you're 1.5% and you cut it to 1 or 1.5 or a negative like the idiots in Europe. And I use that word intentionally. At the edges, nothing like that works. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, if your 5-year-old runs in the street and you smack him on the hand, maybe that works. A lot of people don't even want that. But beating him with a bat clearly doesn't work. I mean, you're over the edge, right? I mean, when you get to the extreme on anything, I don't know, I mean, aspirin might be good for you. I don't know that 30 a day is good for you. I mean, everything we do, I mean, I like having a few beers. I don't want 18. I mean, you know, 4 or 5 is good. 6 probably not so good. 18, surely not good. I mean, when you get to the extremes on anything, I think all theory kind of falls apart, doesn't it? You're not answering, Professor.
God, I had muted myself because I had a dog howling in the background that you didn't want to hear.
No, what I'm saying is whatever you do at the extremes, you can't cover it. You can't, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's an aspirin is good, an Advil on the golf course if you're old and creaky, but 10 of them aren't good. If you need 10 of them, you got no business out there. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Everything. When we get to this, I think Paul Volcker was a failure, to be honest with you. I don't think he ever had to go past 7 or 8%, and just take a little longer. We might still have a savings and loan industry. Now
he overshot relative to what he really needed to do, and the economy, which will always write itself, and he gets some weird credit.
Well, and I'm saying I love when
people get credit for being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, well, I don't know that we needed to go to 13-14%, and I don't think we needed to go to half or one. But because I'm saying, but the theory, like anything else, whatever it is, you know, dealing with people, dealing with everything. I mean, if I come over to your place, you know, I'm going to bring if you and your wife like to drink, I'm probably going to bring a nice bottle of wine. I'm not going to bring 3 cases, right? I mean, there's an extreme on everything.
Yeah. No, there is. Everything in moderation is okay.
Well, everything in moderation, including moderation, as they used to say in the trading
floor. Yeah,
But I mean, so what about today? What these guys, this unprecedented pressure, and then you got a guy that, in some days he's absolutely right, the president. This idea that you're telling people, your supporters, that if only you didn't have this Jay Powell, who he, by the way, put in power a year ago.
Yeah, it's his guy.
If only it wasn't for him, the Dow would be 10,000 point higher and all you people would be rich. How does a fourth grader tell that to anybody, much less a president?
Because he says a lot of things without totally thinking them through.
Well, I mean,
you know,
we
and the you know the I personally the more I think about it, as much as the Fed gets criticized, we've maintained, ever since 2009, we've maintained some decent growth. We've had a couple of slowdowns, but, you know, maybe cutting today, which they will do, is getting ahead of something. And, you know, if we don't hit a tough recession for the next 2 or 3 years, cutting today was the right thing.
All right, let me ask you this.
You know, but the thing is, if things just kind of go along moderately good, nobody's going to look back and say, you know, what the Fed did. You know, nobody's going to give them credit for that.
All right, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, if Fed Chairman Russell Rhodes cut the rate from 6 to 5.75.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a, and I'm at Pullman, and I got
six
a big
to 5.75.
I got a big loan with Continental Bank, and I'm quarter over prime because I'm a serious customer, and I'm paying. They would cut from 3.5 to 3.25 because that wouldn't be prime. But now the prime would be 6. So the next morning, the bank that I'm banking with and have a loan with is going to cut the prime rate from 6 to 5.75. So I'm paying on this loan. My rate is going to go down tomorrow based on.
Yeah.
But now, if they cut today, nobody we know, the possible exception is somebody getting a home loan, which all it does is drive the price of the house up. Nobody we know is going to get something in the mail that says your 25% credit card rate is now 24.75. Not one soul. It's not going to percolate through to the masses at all like it used to. It doesn't affect anybody except the banks that are, you know, banks that, I mean, I'm going to say unequivocally, and you got the personnel to figure this out, your students. I'm going to say that in this day and age, over half the banking depositors in this country are either paying fees. I'm going to say at least over half the bank accounts are under $5,000, and most of those people are paying fees of $15 a month. I'm going to say we're negative interest rates in this country right now for a substantial part of the population. And the fact that this guy's, you know, cutting rates or doing whatever he's doing is not going to help 90% of the people. Now, there's going to be some people, if he runs the market up another 5 or 6%, they're going to be happy there. But they won't sell either, right? It's not going to protect himself. I mean, what are we really accomplishing here?
They won't benefit in the long run.
Yeah, what are we really accomplishing by doing this? I mean, there's not anybody. I mean, the worst thing I did, was actually do some research one night after I got tired of watching the Cubs not score. I went into the computer and I dug into, in the last 8 years, credit card rates are up, Russell.
Mm-hmm.
So explain.
Oh,
to
I
me,
know they are.
Yeah, explain
I,
to me how this I, has helped the population.
Yeah, I've been having to work with my dad's estate over the past few weeks, and he had 6 outstanding credit cards, and I'm like, oh my God, what's the rate he was paying? So, you know. I mean, he had a 24%er in there.
So we're trying to solve it. Like you, I mean, you mentioned expound. I was talking to my expound on. You were saying we're trying to solve a problem that isn't there. I mean, is that where you're coming from?
Oh, for the Fed right now, no.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily solve the problem that's not there. It's maybe actually having a little bit of foresight into what they see coming down the road.
Okay. Now,
I'm starting to wonder, because the Fed gets beaten up. But the biggest, for the last decade, but the biggest thing everybody says is, you know, there's going to be a day of reckoning around everything that's going on right now. Well, I haven't seen it yet, so I'm starting to wonder if maybe the Fed actually know, and this is unpopular and not fun, but maybe they know what they're doing.
But your day of reckoning, if you are older, and you normally have, you know, a T-bills, T-bonds, regular bonds, I'm going to say you've been. I use the term "gypped." How's that for an old term?
For gypped.
I'll be very conservative. I'm going to say you have been gypped in money that you have. Businesses, never anybody who has extra cash. I calculated that if you've been gypped 2% a year on what you normally would have made on that money from people borrowing it from you, it's $350 billion a year. That's serious cash that is going to one side, the borrowing side versus the lending side, which is an incredible disorientation of the monetary world. I mean, for for 6 to 8 months, a year, 2 years, I think all of us will take one for the team. But we've got people who say this should be the way it is forever. Nobody ever gets money by lending it to somebody unless you're a bank. But you lending money to a bank, oh no, you don't ever get paid. do you think that the bank should have to pay something for the money that they're loaning out to somebody at 25%? I think so.
They should, and because they've got such a cheap source, they don't have to.
Right.
You know, that's just agree with what you're saying there.
All right, let me start from the top.
They don't have to. I don't even think they really want us to make deposits with them.
Well, they got the money somewhere. I mean, let me ask you this, Professor: if the rates were 1%, and everybody's jumping all over the Fed to cut them to 0.75, does that do any good to anybody?
No.
How about
not really?
How about 2.75 to? I think if you go from 3.5 to 3.25, probably. And actually, at 2.75, I'm not thinking going to 2.50 is not horrible. I don't think going for them a quarter point today is all that horrible. But have you ever seen a yield curve where the 3-year is cheaper than the 90-day and then goes back up again at the end? Have you ever seen a smiley face yield curve? I never have.
Where we've got going on now, where they think we're going to have very low rates for just 2 or 3 years, and then we're going to go back to some normalcy.
Yeah.
3 years down the road. You think that's the market is anticipating some kind of disaster in 2022?
I've never seen it before the 30-year rate is what, 2.1?
I played around with the Bloomberg the other day trying to find something similar and couldn't find anything.
No, I mean, when we have an inverted yield curve.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, an inverted yield curve means that the 30-year is cheaper than the 1-year.
Yeah.
It doesn't usually mean that the 30-day and the 30-year are both up and the middle sagging.
I can't find another time. I couldn't find another time where it looked like that, and I went back, way back.
What do you think it means?
What I just said, that the market thinks that that we're going to take a big hit in the next 2 or 3 years.
Well,
mid-year through the second Trump term or the first Marianne Williamson term, we're going to have a pretty nasty thing to deal with.
Who's Marianne Williamson?
She's running for president. She was in the debate yesterday.
I watched the Cub game and I should have watched the debate.
She's the spiritual guru. She's the one that's going to win with love. She's my girl.
Was she the author?
Yeah.
Oh God. Oh yeah. Yeah.
You got to go look at her website, and to participate in her campaign, you actually have to be screened. You can't just sign up to be a fan. She's picky.
Hey, I just got screened.
But so did I. Actually, how'd you get screened?
I decided, since my dad was a policeman and he's been dead forever, that I would get the police memorial plates. If you make a donation, you can get police memorial plates. It doesn't say you're a policeman or anything like that. Well, in order for them to say okay, even though you give them the check, they have to run a background check on you.
Mm-hmm.
Or they do. I don't know if they have to. I never. Let's put it this way. It was a real struggle to get these plates. Of course, you know me. I'm such a terrier. Once I start, I got to follow through, right?
Oh, yeah. You want it.
Yeah. And
You going to finish it.
And then there's 4 Secretary of State's offices later. And finally, the people downtown had to call down to Springfield and find out how the hell do we even do this. But I now have my police memorial plates. But I said to the lady, I go, you got to screen me? She goes, well, yeah. And I said, well, okay. Why? And I said, well, how did I come back? She goes, God, you were the cleanest one we've ever seen. Don't you ever do anything wrong? I go, I haven't yet.
Go do something.
Yeah, I should go do something. Just get something on my rap sheet, type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And, she goes, you've had like 4 parking tickets and you actually paid them all. I go, yeah, I don't want the boot. I'm like, what the? Anyway, so yeah, I just got screened for a license plate. Can you imagine that?
Well, I actually signed up, and I'm helping with the advertising effort here. Every Wednesday I'm listening and I hear, about Luckbox Magazine, and I know those guys pretty well, and I've actually gotten a couple of free hard copies from them, but I went to sign up on the digital site, and it didn't ask me if I were male or female. It asked me, what do I identify with most? And I had 5 choices.
What were they?
Male, female, other, Choose Not to Say, and I can't remember the fifth now. But yeah, maybe there were four choices. But going along with the "they" theme at the very beginning, that Jay-Z now identifies as "they," going along with that theme, the good people at Luckbox are very aware.
All right, so let me get this straight.
this is gonna kill you till you make it.
I understand. First of all, I'm a total live and let live kind of guy, but
I am too.
The idea that that if a lady doesn't want to know what the sex of the baby is, or sort of like a puppy, and when a baby or a puppy pops out, most people are going to check the equipment and say, "You got a boy or a girl?" So now what? You don't even say that? We'll just have to wait and see. Is that what you tell the mother? We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
I mean, what this stuff that used to be simple is now. I have nothing against anybody who later on decides whatever. But I mean, there's
you know, what's really funny is I think a lot of people think that, you know, middle-aged old white guys like you and me are very judgmental about, you know, and we're not. We don't judge. We have gone through life, encountered all kinds of silly things or things that are off the beaten track, and we reach a point in our lives where we're like, well, you know, live and let live. I don't think a lot of people realize that because they're not middle-aged old white guys yet.
But
we're all like this.
But at some point,
we're really kind of like, whatever. We may say something that comes across as a little incorrect every once in a while, but we don't really. None of this stuff bothers us anymore.
No, but
we just want to understand it sometimes.
Well, the things that are sort of say hard scripted are. I don't think any guy is ever going to have a baby, and no lady's ever going to have a baby without some guys. I'll use the term help. So
you don't think we're going to be able to someday have the science to individually reproduce?
No. Well, we can probably clone, maybe, but who the hell wants another one? Who wants another one of me?
Be able to figure that one out.
Yeah, but who wants another one of me? One's enough. But you know, where are we? Where are we going? If you want to be, one of my male friends was telling me, we're obsolete. We're going to be just like,
so they don't need us anymore.
We're going to be just like cattle. Now, when I say that, we had the
males or all of us.
Well, here's where I'm going with this: We had the guy on from Four Oaks Dairy, and through some sort of a. I don't know if it's hormonal, if it's gene, whatever they're doing. I think they're up to like 60 to 70%, maybe not quite that high, of all babies born are female.
Okay.
And you really don't want all guys running around doing whatever it is guys do to make babies. You really want to identify only like the best bull gets to do, and he doesn't even really get to do it. I mean, he... Mm-hmm. He provides the source, shall we say. I wouldn't want that job, getting the source stuff from the bull, but somebody does.
Ugh. Yeah.
I mean, I feel that's a little dangerous. Those boys are pretty big, and they're kind of ornery.
Well, no, but, if you do it right, you're just going to be the bull's best friend.
Well, okay, I guess. I mean, it's not the place I want to go. But, I mean, are we going down that same road? Because, I mean, some of the guys at, some of the guys
I
at
think
the club...
Somewhat.
Well, a couple of guys at the club, these are two old grumpy guys, older and grumpier than us. Mm-hmm. One of the guys, I don't know if his son-in-law died, something happened, but he's involved 2 or 3 days a week. I mean, he essentially watches his grandkid. Mm-hmm. And he says, and he's a little guy, he's like 4 years old, five. He goes, I take him to the park, I take him to school, and like anything that males do, or used to do, of course they're wrestling, they're throwing snowballs at each other. He goes, they want to like drug the kid. He goes, he's just being a little boy. Where are we going with this? he's like anything male now, any kind of little misbehavior, this or that, or being a little wilder than the, then all of a sudden now this is wrong. I mean, to me, walking home from school, you're supposed to have a snowball fight. You're supposed to wrestle. So when you got back to school, you were tired out and ready for another 2 hours of somebody talking to you. I mean, you know, it just kind of changed. Anyway, I'm thinking we might get a 0.5% today. Money supply up 7.5.
We're going a quarter.
All right. Have you seen the money supply numbers? Up 7.5 the last 13 weeks.
We're going a quarter.
All right. You're probably right.
That's what the market.
You're going with the chalk. S&P futures up 6. NASDAQ futures up 31. Russell, thank you. Maybe see you in office. Chalk. Maybe see you in the studio one of these days. Talk to you next week.
I have the best intent to get down there, and I just
I know. Yes. See ya.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.